She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home, that we're just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm looking forward to bringing today's guest into show because I find her journey very interesting. Jessica Peterson is a doctor of occupational therapy specializing in maternal and perinatal health and wellness. She's also a certified lactation counselor, an infant massage educator, and a mother of two. She co-owns Matrescence Occupational Therapy, a mobile private practice in Austin, Texas. Jessica loves working with mothers and babies, particularly with lactation and building functional routines. She also helps run Adaptive Parent Project, a nonprofit to build communities, resources, and education for parents with disabilities and healthcare practitioners who serve them. So with all that being said, Jessica, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you so much, Dori, for having me.
It's my pleasure. So I would love for you to take us on your journey that led you to where you are now.
Absolutely. So it's been an interesting one. I graduated from OT school in 2011 and immediately moved to Austin, where my husband was, and worked for 10 years of my career with adults. So I worked in skilled nursing facilities and then in acute care in the hospital. And during that time, I also had my children. So the 8 years that I worked in the hospital, I worked part-time and took breaks to have maternity leaves and sort of kept dabbling in. I had one toe in my career and the rest of my toes in motherhood. And that worked out really well for me for a while because that's what I thought that I wanted to do. I thought that I really wanted to focus on being a mom, especially when my kids were young. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden, I went from being able to dabble in my career but still hang out with my friends. I had my older child in daycare a couple of days a week. And so it was a good balance. And then when COVID hit, all of that balance went away. So as all of us experienced, we were at home. And those of us who are mothers with young children, all of a sudden became so many more roles. We were mom all the time. We were educators. We were therapists. We were jungle gyms, all of those things. We were all the time. And my husband, he could work from home. So he just very easily shifted. He's also more of an introvert than I am. And so he was like, really, he was happy. He was just like, this is great. We have everything that we need right here. I can still work. And I was like going insane. And so I needed to do something to force that balance, that equilibrium back. And so I had a crazy idea that maybe that answer was going back to school to get my doctorate. I already had my master's at that point. And so I thought, is this silly that I would just go back to school because I needed something to do? But luckily, my husband was very supportive of that decision. And he's like, yep, absolutely, we will make it work. And so I enrolled in my post-professional doctorate at Boston University, which was a decision that changed the trajectory of my career and my life. I think it was the right decision. And through that program, I met so many incredible people, and I was able to learn what else I can do as an occupational therapist. because I am so passionate about being an OT. Occupational therapists are healthcare providers, but they work in all aspects of life. And with each setting that we're working in, the role of our job changes dramatically because we work with people through the activities that occupy their time. That is what occupation means. And so with every population and with every setting, that changes a lot. And so there's so many variations and it can be so creative, but that's also what makes it kind of nebulous to other people because they don't know what occupation means. And they know occupational therapy maybe from one setting, but it's hard to translate that knowledge to other settings. But I knew I could do something different. And so I just didn't know what. But that COVID experience made me really want to focus on mothers somehow. And so when I wrote my application to school, that's what I wrote that I wanted to do. I wanted to somehow look at the experience of mothers and figure out how OTs can be part of supporting that role. And so I did that for a while. And about a year into school, I was still working at the hospital. One of my colleagues and I really started talking a lot about who we were as mothers, who we were as occupational therapists. And one fateful day, we went on a very last minute field trip and started talking about how much we wish we could do something about it, how we as mothers really lacked support in certain areas. And she had become a mother during COVID. Literally, she had to cancel her baby shower because it was scheduled the week that the world shut down. And so she had actually no support and had expected that. And so that was really a crush for her. And it was very isolating, not to mention what she was going through, recovering from a C-section, all of that stuff. So we really thought, like, you know, occupational therapists need to be working with mothers, but really in the setting that they live, we need to be in the homes, we need to be in the communities. And at the time, we really couldn't find many examples of that. But we decided that we were going to take a leap and start a business, which, rewind 2 weeks from that conversation, I had told one of my best friends and my husband in the same conversation that I would never be a business owner because I just did not want to do that. I was like, you know, having employees and a brick and mortar and all of this drama was like flashing before my eyes. And I was like, no, I just do not want to do that. But I think that what I started to realize through getting my doctorate and learning about education and learning more about project development, that businesses can work a lot of ways. They can look so many different ways. And it really, if it's your own business, it can look however you want it to look. And so Gail and I just decided that we were going to do it. We figured out a name, we filed our LLC, we made a website. And I think at least for the first 6 months, both of us were like, you're just making this up as we go. You know, we sort of felt like we were playing house in a way because we really were. We were starting to bring occupational therapy into a setting that it didn't exist before. And there were no models. There were a few people that we could find online, especially like in Australia, UK, OTs that are working in maternal health. But it really didn't take off until I'd say the last like 6 to 8 months. And now there is an incredible community of occupational therapists who have either started private practices focusing on maternal and infant health or are thinking about doing that. And so we are up in arms trying to get our professional organizations to support us in this as an emerging practice area. We are trying to develop more education and more research so that we can show that we have really good outcomes. And then just being in this setting and being able to work with families and directly with mothers and babies and hearing how much it has transformed their life in a way that other services it's unique. It's a unique thing because we really look at the whole picture. We look at the big picture. We look at who you are as a person, what your environment is like, and what are those occupations, those things that take up your day, and how can we make that more functional for you?
I love that. I really do. Because you know what? Especially for a new mom, they hand you this baby. There's no rule book. They don't give you anything. So the fact that you are coming in and working with moms and their babies in their natural habitat just makes so much sense. I have to ask you, with Matrescence, where'd the name come from? And talk to us about what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So Matrescence is a word that was coined by an anthropologist, actually, in the 1970s. It is the same woman who coined the word doula, which is much better known. And it refers to the transition to motherhood. So that includes the physical, the physiological, the hormonal, the social, even the political transformation to motherhood. And a matrescence happens not only your first time, but with each child. So myself, I have two children. I have gone through two completely different matrescences. And you can compare it to the word adolescence. That's sort of where the basis of it comes. The transition from child to adult is adolescence, where motherhood also should be thought of as a developmental milestone, just as adolescence, because not only does our entire life change, but we change hormonally and physiologically almost as much as we do in infanthood or adolescence during motherhood. It is a literal transformation. So that is why we chose that word for our business name, because we thought it just so perfectly envelops everything that we're trying to work for.
As you are working with families, what is the role for you as an occupational therapist when you're looking at maternal health and wellness? What is your role for the family?
So you could think of us sort of like a coach, I think is maybe the best way to explain it. Except unlike a coach, we are healthcare professionals. So occupational therapists at minimum have a master's degree. In school, we learn about human development. We learn about mental health. We learn about how to break down activities. We learn about disability. And so we have all of that kind of at our helm when we're thinking about a problem. And so oftentimes parents will come to us with an acute issue or a challenge in early motherhood specifically. And recently, a lot of that has been infant feeding. So trouble with breastfeeding, trouble with bottle feeding, trouble with introducing solids. And those are problems that they feel comfortable seeking help out with. And so we kind of meet them where they're at. And so we will help them with that problem. We can help them with breastfeeding. We can help their infant more successfully do solids, things like that. But because we specialize in maternal health, while we're in that home and we're helping that mother and that infant function better, we are zooming out when we're looking at the whole picture. And we're asking a lot of different questions. So, for example, maybe a mother is having difficulty breastfeeding her child, but she thinks that the problem is the latch. But we realize that there's a lot of other pieces of the puzzle. So we're looking at the baby's body, the position of the body, the mother's body, how she's positioned, what her support is like, what her external support is like for breastfeeding her child. What are the expectations on her? We're also looking at other components of her life. So how is the sleep that she's getting? Is she feeling really anxious around this task of breastfeeding? Are these things where we can just shift one little thing and make a big difference? And so oftentimes we're pulling together all of those components that she might not necessarily be thinking of because she's so focused on this task of breastfeeding. And once we kind of start to address some of those other aspects, let's improve the sleep of not only the baby and the mom, but the entire family. Let's see, how can we make this task easier by putting the tools that you need closer to you? So you're not walking across the house every time and then that's causing stress. How can we support your body more where maybe you're not sitting on the edge of the bed slumped over a baby? Can we put you somewhere else and make sure that your entire body is supported and then the baby's entire body is supported? And how can that help the end goal of feeding? I like to think of us, our role is we're a coach and we're a detective. And we work collaboratively with the family to go towards whatever the goal is for the family.
On that note, please think of what Jessica just said. We're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back here in just a moment on Word of Mom Radio. She is brave. She is bold. She is you. And we want to tell your story. Are you ready to share your journey with us on Word of Mom Radio? Go to wordofmomradio.com and register as a guest. We want to tell your story because when you win, we all win.
In 2017, Unsilenced Voices was formed to help survivors of domestic abuse and gender-based violence worldwide. The organization currently serves Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Ghana, and the USA. In 2022, Unsilenced Voices gifted over $33,000 to survivors in the USA. And in Sierra Leone, there are over 26 young girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking and domestic abuse and now going through vocational training school in order to better their lives. We need your help. Donations are critical in order for us to continue our work. We also need volunteers to help with research and development. Please visit unsilencedvoices.org for more information.
Don't let the name fool you. StadiumBags.com is not just for sports fans. Our clear bags make it easier for you to get into any venue that you go to. And in today's world where we are so concerned about germs, the materials that our bags are made with are strong enough to stand up to the solvents that you can use to clean your bag. So you know you come home safely. Check out StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are the clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We're talking with Jessica Peterson about matrescence, her work as an occupational therapist for maternal health and wellness, and all of the different facets that go into what an occupational therapist does when they come into your home and work with you on maternal health and wellness. Do you find that you've got some common challenges that families face when you're working with them, Jess?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there are two parts to what we're looking at because our clients are a dyad. So a dyad is two people. And in this case, it's usually a mother and an infant. Right off the bat, we have two clients. So often we are called to because there is a problem with the infant or a challenge with the infant. So that would be feeding, concerns with development, concerns with being able to support a baby through a certain milestone. But then there's also challenges and barriers for the mother herself. So a lot of those are mental health based. So that might be a lot of anxiety or stress around motherhood or certain activities around motherhood. It might be difficulty with a routine, including maybe a feeding routine that's related to her goals with breastfeeding or bottle feeding. And it might also be just management of everyday life. So maybe it's a mother who has a newborn, but she also has three other children and she has to manage a household. And this is very challenging for her. And now we have a fourth baby and she has to figure out how to kind of move everything around to manage it. So I think that those are sort of the most common things that we help families with. But it changes with each developmental phase, if you will. We help parents and mothers through anything from preconception. So that would be with like fertility treatments, for example, IVF and IUI, That's a huge disruption to everyday life. And then during pregnancy, and then postpartum and beyond.
It's remarkable that you cover such a myriad of facets when you're dealing with families, because everybody deals with it differently. Some people, it just comes very, very naturally to, and other people, it becomes a real stress. What do you do with that? How do you help that mom? How do you support that mom where you're seeing that it is really just spiraling out?
The biggest thing and the biggest part of our job is really affirmation and encouragement. Most of the time we see families where they're perceiving that something is spiraling out, but honestly, they're doing so many incredible big things right. And it's hard to see the forest for the trees. And so just the fact that these families are reaching out for support is an incredible thing. And so we always have to be very conscious of making sure that they know what they're already doing right and the things that they have in place that are going to be the foundation of the solution. So I think that a lot of that anxiety, a lot of that stress, and then we have mood changes, we have periods of rage, and then there's also sensory overload, all of that stuff. A lot is just taking a breath. What are we doing right here? What can we build off of? And then we give them tools, strategies, and education to kind of support a few different pieces of the puzzle. So we start with the low-hanging fruit, whatever we can fix today that can make your life easier and can allow you to breathe a little bit, or can we take away some of these things that are causing you unnecessary stress, and then sort of start from there.
I want to ask you about Adaptive Parent Project, because we do a lot on Word of Mom Radio, just raising awareness. The Village Vision podcast is completely about that and raising awareness for people with disabilities, support, and all of the other things. So please let us know a little about it.
Yeah. So Adaptive Parent Project is a 501(c) nonprofit. It was founded by a woman named Alicia Thomas, who is based in San Diego, California. She has a really incredible story, and you need to have her on this podcast to share it. A little bit of her background. She also had a child during COVID. She is a mother with cerebral palsy, and she uses a wheelchair for mobility. And so right off the bat, when she was trying to become a mother and then did, she found that she really needed support, but she didn't need support from anyone. She needed support from people who understood disability and were disability affirming in the way that they supported their clients. And then she also needed support from peers, especially because during COVID, there was no in-person support anyways. And so she was trying to be a mother, and the little resources that were available to her now completely gone. And so she needed to adapt nearly everything because she could not mother the way that was depicted everywhere else in the books, in the blogs, in the podcasts. A lot of it just, it didn't apply to her. And so she needed to figure out a different creative way to do it. So she actually started Adaptive Parent Project as a YouTube channel, and she began to film herself doing everyday mothering tasks and all of the ways that she had figured out to make it work, especially being a wheelchair user. And she did it single-handedly and has since been able to acquire two pretty large grants to support her work. And I found her through my doctorate work because I was creating a resource for healthcare professionals to support parents with physical disabilities. And she had this resource that was supporting parents with disabilities. So it became an amazing partnership where we have sort of the professional side of the coin and the personal side of the coin. And so we have sort of joined forces I am supporting her nonprofit, and we have applied to a couple more grants. We are both getting advanced lactation training together so we can start to offer that through a virtual platform to parents with disabilities, as Alicia just has that lived experience and that unique point of view, and I have the professional experience. So big things are happening for Adaptive Parent Project, and I'm super excited.
I think that's awesome. I really do. As somebody who has worked with people with mobility issues most of my life, I really appreciate anything that is out there that is just letting them know they're not alone. Because let's face it, all of us, no matter what we're spiraling into or whatever, we feel so alone. So it's really important that people know that there is our support systems out there. So as we're wrapping up, Jess, what do you want people to know about Matrescence? How can they reach out to you? What do you want to leave them with?
Yeah, absolutely. Matrescence Occupational Therapy is myself and my co-owner, Gail Shui. We are located in Austin, Texas, and provide in-person support to families who are local, but we also provide telehealth services to families in Texas. So if you're in Texas and you want support, then you can go ahead and head to our website. Our website is www.momsot.com. That's MOMSOT.com. And you can also reach us on social media, on Instagram through Matrescence_OT. And that is MatrescenceOT.
I really encourage you moms, reach out. Please reach out because again, you're not alone. It can be really overwhelming, whether it's your first baby or your fifth baby. Doesn't matter. It can really be overwhelming at times. So reach out. Jessica, I thank you so much for coming and sharing your journey with us. I really do. And
thank
please
you
connect
so
us with Alicia from Adaptive Parent Project, because we would love to have her on to share what she's doing. I think it's fabulous. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. And for all of you tuning in, thanks so much for being here with us. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Sure of herself, yes, she takes care of biz. Powerful and strong, yes, she knows who she is. Has integrity, woman strong and true. You know her by name, see this woman is you. She is sure,
she is sure.
She is strong,
she is strong.
She is true,
she is true.
She is brave,
she is brave.
She is bold,
she is bold.
She is you,
she is you. She is you,
she is you. She is sure,
she is sure.
She is strong,
she is strong.
She is true,
she is true.
She is you.
She is you. She is you. She is you.
Adds value and hope. Has proved to be brave. See, it's never too late. Never time to behave. Reaching for dreams. Doesn't matter the age. Believes in herself. Unleashed from her cage. She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.